Hey, this is the Michigan Football Rant, and I am your host, Adam Brewer. We're trying something a little new now because, got to get with the technology of today. So we're doing a bye week episode. I thought I'd bring my main man in here, Vic, to go ahead and get this going with me. Hey, Vic, why don't you go ahead and tell everybody where they can find you and what's going on?
Yes, you see my name at the bottom of the screen. That's my personal name, but on the show, I go by the name The Vic. It stands for, Victor's Valiant, go blue. So I go by The Vic, and I am the host of The Big House Breakdown. So that's all things Michigan football. We do a little bit of everything, games, recruiting. We talk about the arch enemies, the rivals, the entire football, college football landscape. Join the Big Blue Breakdown every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern.
All right. Yeah, I've been on the show a few times and I've really enjoyed it. So I'm happy to get you on because there's a few things. I like to pride ourselves that we're going to be probably the only show this week that won't talk about that craziness about the sign stealing. So let's get on with just the highlights of the season so far for you.
Wow. A lot. A lot to be desired, which is still good for an undefeated team that we still got goals to reach. We got to get Donovan on track and, we got to get CJ in the end zone and it's a bunch of things still to do, So, but so far I've loved the play of Mike Sanders still. Love his play. Love how he's gotten the end zone twice defensively. That's awesome. I've also loved the our D-line play. I think our D-line
play is just
– I think that's the heart and soul of what we're doing defensively right now. I think that gives us a tactical edge above any other team is how versatile we are and how deep we are. So if I had –
That's true.
Yeah, if I had a side of the football to award MVP for this season, it would be the defensive line of the Michigan Wolverines.
Okay, good. Yeah, I mean, so many freaking highlights to pick from, but just the few that I kind of, I'll be honest, I was thinking about, I was like, man, which ones can I choose? And I mean, obviously, I'll go with Roman's catch. Yeah, against Notre Dame, Nebraska. I always want to say Notre Dame when I talk about Nebraska. That one was pretty amazing. Actually, just recently, that pass that JJ threw against Little Brother, where it just went right over Halliday's, right past his face, and hit Colson Loveland for that touchdown. That was a thing of beauty, man. You look at that, and it was so well just ran and delivered and just – it was amazing. It was really just awesome. And then all the pick sixes. I mean, we've had, four this year? So you can't turn down any one of those. So all of them were pretty awesome for me. One more that, touching on your defensive line, the Mason Graham game against Minnesota. Wow. I mean, just dominating. That dude is dominating. And it's just so fun to watch. Like you said, the defense, the lines are really what's going to take us over the top, and the defensive line has been amazing.
Did you see the joke on Twitter about Mason Graham being Thanos with the glove?
I haven't, but I love it, though. I can see it. I think that's why they do this, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Big play, everybody's like,
I got you.
That's so cool. That's so cool.
Man. That is one big
show.
Boy.
And you know what's even cooler to see is, especially in a time, and I'm not sure, I'm sure other teams do it too, but I love to see our team doing it, is how much we're pulling for one another's success. So when someone has a successful play, everybody's partying. Everybody's in the mix. Harbaugh, Minter, everybody's jumping in. And it's awesome to watch, you know what I mean? Because in an era of, get the bag, NIL, all the stuff, you still got team ball happening, which is awesome.
I know, and it's such a vast difference from when Harbaugh first got there. It just seemed real cold and professional, and now it's just like one big happy family, man. COVID didn't bring a lot of greatness to this, but I'll tell you, at this part, the after COVID, Michigan Wolverines have been amazing.
And, you know, we just need to continue this ride. And, you
know. Oh, yeah. So well, that leads me kind of to the next one. Our offense and defensive midseason MVP. Who do you have for offense and who do you have on defense?
Tough choice, man. Tough choice. Because it's definitely been a it's definitely been a concert for the most part. You know, for most of what they've done, it's really been a concerted effort. Wow.
I'll go ahead and give you mine while you think. Offensively, I think you just have to go with the main man, J.J. McCarthy, because I think this is finally the offense that we all expected to have. And we've had plenty of decent quarterbacks, but this is the first time we've had an amazing quarterback. And he's on par right now. Let me check. I wrote down some notes. He has 18 passing touchdowns and 1799 throwing or passing yards. He's 7 touchdowns away from tying the record, 8 from breaking it for a season single season. And then he's 15, 32 away from tying the all-time or a single season passing record. So now if we just go 4 games, like the remaining 4 games, obviously I hope that's not all we have. But let's just say 4 games, he's got to throw 383 and a touchdown each game to do it. Now, listen, I don't think he'll throw 383, but I think by the time he's Big Ten title winner.
Oh, I agree.
I think he'll have the record.
That record.
You know?
Yeah, that record's being shattered this year.
Offensively, that's
at least,
my guy.
At least touchdowns, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, you could. There's so many offensive people you could mention, but I just think the main guy, like as they always say, the straw that stirs the drink, it's all JJ. So for me, I couldn't. And then now he's the odds-on favorite to win the Heisman. And you're just like, yeah, man, that I've never seen that. The whole time I've ever been a Michigan fan, I've never seen that. I know Harbaugh was a Heisman candidate, but I don't remember. Like, I couldn't remember that far. You know what I mean? Like, I can't remember that far back.
And didn't it happen fast?
Like, the Heisman race for that year.
It was supposed to be Caleb Williams and all of the other, you know, mentionables, and now it's JJ out of the blue. Not that Caleb Williams is not in it anymore.
Right. Well, I think it's between two dudes now, and you're right, because everybody just kind of fell off. I think, because they had Shenor Sanders, and then Colorado had their problems. They had Caleb Williams. He's had his problems lately. And then I think right now it's Michael Penix and JJ. And Michael's kind of – Penix has dropped down a little bit only because he had such a bad – had a kind of struggle against ASU last week. So right now the only one who seems – like remotely reliable and continue.
No, you're right.
Looks like he's getting better each week.
You know,
is
JJ. I think he's among the most talented. I think Shedeur Sanders is really talented. I think May is very talented. You know, it's a lot of talent out there, but you know, I think it stands out because we're a traditional running team. So then when he rolls out and he's extending plays and he's doing the Ben Roethlisberger thing. It shows when he's doing the Steve Young thing. It shows. It's like, oh, man, you know.
Yep.
He's making Michigan that more dynamic with his legs and with his ability to.
Oh.
And then, of course, like I always like to say on my show, he's flame throwing. I love how efficient and how he has a zip on that ball that's almost pro ready. You know what I mean? So.
Oh, for sure. Dude, that Steve Young comparison was great. It's a really good comparison, too. I love, because Steve Young was mobile, and the older he got, the more he knew how to just use his legs to just get out of the way of trouble and then use his arm to throw. Young Steve Young was just
I just thought about that recently.
But I like the comparison though.
He's like a little Steve Young there, you know.
Yeah, dude, I love it. You know what's so funny is that they all bitch and complain, like the national media, people say that Michigan hasn't played anybody yet, but all these other teams like Washington just struggled, North Carolina just lost to Virginia. USC has had its struggles. I mean, went to triple overtime with Arizona. I mean, Ohio's had its struggles, even though it probably has the best resume out of everybody. But still, I mean, we're the only ones that have just been putting people out quick, just done, over. It's not even close. So I just think it's funny that they talk about our week schedule, but when all these other teams have week schedules, they don't say anything.
I'm
going
to go back to what I said before about you asked me who the MVP was. I'll go with the Big Bubbas, the offensive defensive lines.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah, half season MVP defense, for sure.
Defensive line for you for the season MVP for defense, huh? Oh, yeah, see, I love that. I went with Mikey only because he really seems to be taking on that leadership role right now for us. And he's like the JJ of the defense. I mean, the kid's got two pick sixes. He's doing everything asked of him. He even has a sack. I mean, when people get down on the sideline, he's there to get them refocused, just like JJ. I think he really is worthy of that. But I don't disagree with you at all. The offensive line doing really good, getting better what seems like every week. And the defensive line's been phenomenal. Like, I agree. I think the defensive line's probably been the best defensive line since, I mean, maybe I've ever seen. Because I used to love Alan Branch and Gabe Watson and then Mo Hurst. And you have all those big boys up front. I loved all those guys. But I'm telling you, there is something about this defensive line.
Yeah, man, they're deep. They love playing for each other. They love playing with each other.
I mean, just fun to watch.
I love the stunt that was done. I forget which team it was. It was Jenkins and Stewart. And they ran the stunt. And Stewart faked like he was, you know, doing like a seven rush or a speed rush.
Okay.
And looped. And Jenkins just laid out the tackle. They hit from Stewart screaming up the inside for a sack. And I was like, that's pro stuff. And I was like, wow, if we could do that to Ohio State. Yeah.
Bro, well, you saw that game. I mean, after watching that Penn State-Ohio State game, how did it make you feel
up front,
about
I
playing both
Penn
of
State
those teams?
Will give us a little ride for our money. I think we're going to smack around Ohio State up front. I don't like either team between the tackles. I think they tissue paper between the tackles. But I think up front, we're going to smack around Ohio State, man. I don't like how they're built up front, man, on either side of the ball. I don't care for it. I know everybody wants to say their defensive tackles are doing a little bit better right now. I see them collectively, because I watched. That's the part of the game I watched the most.
Yeah,
because I know that's the strength of ours, and I said if we're gonna win, I gotta watch how these teams handle business in a major game. They take a lot of sides. The defensive tackles take a lot of sides. You know, during the you know, if they're one technique or if they're two technique, I see a lot of sides being taken.
Yeah,
and I think if Zinter and Keegan scout that, they're just gonna take him on a ride, and that's gonna open up major holes for Blake and the boys to just do their thing. And you
know, I think you're right. I think the running game is going to have one or two big games that no one's going to be expecting, because I think their teams are going to really start focusing now on JJ because he's getting all the glory, all the glitz, all the headlines. And I think you're going to watch the one. I don't know if it may be both against Penn State and Ohio State. The running game might just blow up. And I'll be honest, man, Kyle McCord better hope to God that they learn how to block his tackles, because our dude, I saw them get, they bull rushed those dudes right into him. Penn State, I mean, bullied those offensive tackles. They got really lucky that he was able to, that scoop and score was called back for defensive holding on the, on King. Cause if it wasn't, man, that changes the game quite a bit, but I'm not scared of Penn State's offense at all. Like I don't see any downfield threats to be quite honest.
State is Dunkin' Donuts to me.
You know,
I don't flat, know, man. Running back, flat, running back, little slant, little West Coast offense, right? They're not going downfield with the ball, one. Mm-hmm. And two, you know, if Ohio State can't they can't block at the tackle position, I see McGregor just putting those boys in the backfield, man. I just see him bull rushing them like he did that fourth down against was that Nebraska or Rutgers?
Oh, me too. Yeah. It's going to be Nebraska. Amazing.
I just see him putting that tackle in his lap. That's what I see.
Nebraska. Yeah. Dude, I see all our speed rushers being able to do that. I don't know how Ohio's going to, how they're going to block them. And then you've got the big boys of in the middle, you've got to stop. And you get into Kyle McCord's face, it's done. I don't care how great Marvelous Marvin is, he ain't going to catch no balls if McCord has no time or he's starting to see ghosts out there. Because it shows his percentages and completions drop by like 30% or something like that when he's
yeah, man. And in, if you like, got McGregor being, and you got pressure, you know? Mason so Graham, and
I really look forward
Kenneth
to what
we're
going to do here.
And they're acting like big old palm trees out there. How's he going to get the ball off?
True, and they're making it like a specialty now, knocking balls out of the air. So I think this actually leads perfectly into our little eye test portion of the show. Which team right now, we've already talked about two in the East, but which West teams do you find any of them impressive? Do you like anything that the West is throwing
the
out there, or do you
doing,
think it's just going to be another cakewalk?
I think Wisconsin
or any big Ten East team that gets into
the
Big Ten title
has to offer from a consistency standpoint. I think they put together two or three wins at a time this year.
Okay.
Oh, see that I didn't.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that worries me about Wisconsin right now is that their starting quarterback broke his hand. That's the only thing that worries me. They got a win last week with their backup, but if they don't have Mordecai, I just don't know how good they're going to overall be. But listen, it might be on a non-throwing hand. I didn't double check. So if it's just a non-throwing hand, they'll probably be fine. You know, just let it heal up a little bit and he'll be back
out.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
I mean, they got
Wisconsin,
Ohio this week, so
I think they're better.
You know, who knows, right? I don't know what they're going to do.
You know, coming out of the West.
I'll be interested to see.
And correct me if I'm wrong, who was it? It was Iowa, then it was Purdue. And who was before Iowa that was a big champ, Big Ten champ out of the West?
Yeah.
I think we had
Northwestern always jumps up about every
four
years.
So they never had a repeat champion out of the West.
Big Ten West. I don't know. It's been like two times out of the last 8 years or something. It's crazy.
Okay. Right.
I think Wisconsin
a lot of parity coming out
of
that.
If we were to go back and actually look at it,
the
I'm pretty sure
West,
Wisconsin
not
was
good.
The team that's been there the most, I would assume. It's awful, right? It's awful. It's awful. But I mean, I got a surprise though. I didn't think I was going to pick them, but I like Minnesota. I mean, it's crazy for me to say that, but they lucked out and they beat Iowa last week, right? And their schedule kind of sets up for them to have a decent chance at this. I mean, they have Illinois. They're at Purdue, then they play Ohio at Ohio, which won't matter for the West anyways. And then they both play each other. Wisconsin plays Minnesota at the end of the season. So I don't know, man, if that Greek rifle or the Greek pea shooter, as they call him, can figure out how to throw the ball a little bit, and running attack continues on, they might have a chance. I don't know. They're a dark horse, but you know what?
It's the creases in the Gucci pants.
I'm shocked that I'm even saying it because I can't stand PJ Fleck. And even now, PJ Fleck's starting to grow on me, and it's beginning to worry me a bit. I don't know why.
Well, in your estimation,
what I think Irish, so, dude. Irish I don't know what it is. I think this that cult leader mentality is starting to rub off on me or something. I don't know, man. It's worrying me, though. I like Iowa. You know what? I like Iowa's defense, but their offense still stinks. They don't play anybody left over, right, on their own division. They have Northwestern, Illinois, and at Nebraska. So their one chance was to beat Minnesota, and they lost. And they beat Wisconsin, though, didn't they? Yeah, so, man. See, that's why I think it becomes really important that if Minnesota can win it, they beat Wisconsin – they beat both of the two teams in that kind of round robin, unless some other team like Purdue or something pops up, which I doubt. But still, I think Minnesota's got a pretty good outside chance to do it. You know, because they've already beat Iowa, and that's the one down. You know what I mean? Like, in their round robin,
yeah, man,
three,
well, guess what?
You know, they seem to be kind of in the driver's seat at this point. We'll see, though. Last game of the season, it's at Minnesota too, so
you're gonna put some powder and put the pimps.
Oh yeah, this is the last time any one of those three teams even.
Yeah, let me introduce you to these rainbows we throwing down the field. That's what we do out here in the West. Yeah. Us California boys with the long brown hair. We throw these rainbows. You got to
chase
them.
Man, that's the last time they're gonna see this.
Yeah, you know it's gonna be a different adjustment. Competition level for the West when you add a UCLA and you add a USC and
yeah, sunshine, baby.
And all are they going to back the entire Pac-10 in our West? What do you think? It's going to be like 16, 18. Huh? Yeah. We are, but
I don't know.
They're still going to join the Big Ten and regionally.
I think we're getting rid of the divisions after this year.
Quasi West scenario.
I think we're getting rid of the divisions after this year. So,
yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah. They'll have to do something. If you're Michigan State, let's see, Indiana. Yeah. Northwestern, all these teams, man, you might as well. I mean, good luck. You're just never going to see. They didn't even really get a chance anyways, but they're definitely not going to get a chance
winning
now.
Teams they're going to do?
I mean, next year, it's a wrap for all those small teams. It's over.
What do they do for the NCAA teams that can't make the tournament? And they put them in what is that called? NIT. I think there's going to be NIT
like soccer?
Teams that underperform. It's just a rumor. You guys
can. Yeah. The NIL? No, the NIT.
I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but really? I believe I read there's going to be like a bottom basement. There's going to be a Marshalls, Home Goods.
I mean, why not? People love college football.
You know, go get discount team, you know. Go get your cheap team situation. Happening, you know.
Wow. Yeah. Holy moly.
Yeah. You know.
Damn, dude.
I think they know there's going to be enough teams that play.
I don't know.
Band,
I mean, I know we love college football as a country, but things are already. Man, that might be.
That they're not.
That might not even be good to watch.
That might just be UCLA, Stanford's, and the Washingtons, and whoever else is coming through. And I think they know, right. You know, you don't want to make the bowls meaningless.
Sure.
So you have to create a round robin sort of tournament for the bottom kids to do, kids, the bottom teams to participate in. Because, of course, the top 12 is going to be what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right. That's, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, it's definitely, wow. I didn't even think about having something like that. That, it gives you something to think about for sure. So, speaking of the playoffs, then let's move down to this one. Who would you, so your top six right now.
We'll go Michigan one. I think we look like the best team.
So you Georgia got the two that are already out, just hoping to get in, and then you got your four that are in. So
only because I know on the offense and defensive lines, no one else in the country is really going to deal with the two of them. If
okay.
You know, if they both stuck their foot in the tire and had to box it out, it'd be a fair fight. Everybody.
Right.
Everybody else would just suffer.
Yeah.
I think you have to make way for Florida State has to be in that equation somewhere.
Yeah, I agree.
Washington has to be in that equation somewhere. I don't know what order. Ohio State, because they're undefeated. I'm not crazy about their team. Like, there's some years you just have to admit, damn, you know, Ohio State is on their game. But now, they look real squeamish, man. You know, Okay. Take the thong out, fellas. Play some ball.
Oh, right. It's true, man. I agree. Now, here are my six, and I'll give you my what I think the final four will be. But I agree. I think Michigan will be number one because I think just right now they look the best. I can interchange Michigan and Georgia. Doesn't matter because I do think they're the two best teams in the country right now. So one, Michigan, two, Georgia. Right now I got three. I've got Ohio State just because they've got two top 10 wins right now. And I think we should at least credit them for doing that. Granted, I'm not impressed with Notre Dame or Penn State, but still, you know, you play them when you play them, and when they're ranked, you know, whatever it is. So I'll give it to them on that. Fourth, I have Florida State, and then my two out looking in, I have Oklahoma, and then I have, I actually have Oregon State. And what I think is going to happen is Oregon State right now has a good win against Utah. I think they play Oregon and Washington the last two games of the season. So they get those two wins. I think that'll shoot them right into the top four. You know, you beat a Washington and Oregon at Oregon. I think that'll get you into, and I think they're kind of like the TCU of last season. Like no one really believing in them, but they've got a lot of good stuff going on. They play really solid defense. Their offense is pretty decent, dude. They got a good running game. That transfer kid from Clemson's over there, DJ's kicking ass. So I think it's just one of those things that I think is just, you know, that train that's starting to go. Now listen, they lose any one of these games, they're out. No one's going to give a crap. But I just think that they got a real outside chance, and it wouldn't shock me. If you see Oregon State, if they get that win against Oregon and they get that win against Washington, if they don't jump into the top four, because Florida State still has Miami and Florida. Granted, they're not great, but they're rivals. So you still have to play both your rivals still. Oklahoma has at Kansas, at Oklahoma State, at BYU, and then whatever the Big 12 title game is, if they can get through that gauntlet. And Kansas is no joke this year, and neither is Oklahoma State. And that's a rival for them as well. So that's pretty tough. Because I think, if anything, I think it's going to be – because I don't know, man, it's just – I just have no faith in Florida State. I think they're good, and I think on any given day, if you don't take them seriously, their offensive talent can just run you right out of the building, as LSU proved. But – to me, every time I watch Florida State, they're always having to find a way to come back. Like, it's never a wire-to-wire type thing, you know, where they're just dominant. Now, maybe that helps them for the overall run, you know, so they never lose faith. They think they can always, you know, come back from anything. But I'm just not a fan. Plus, I would love to see Oregon State do it, to be quite honest. Just something new, something interesting. And I just hope to God we don't play them, because I the whole Michigan having a month off has never been a great thing for us. So I'm more worried about that first round of the playoffs this week, if we get in, than I am even playing the national title game. Just because that month off, man, it's a nightmare.
Right.
Yeah. And then you have JJ going for a Heisman run, you know, so he's going to be distracted by going to all the Heisman shit. And it's all at that same time. Cause I mean, look at Hutchinson. Hutchinson didn't play a very good game against Georgia. And you can say he wasn't everything as advertised, but look what he's doing in the NFL. So obviously the kid had talent. He just got distracted by all the Heisman shit. Everybody started reading their own press clippings. It's not that I thought we could. I thought we could beat Georgia, but I'm a crazy person. But you know,
there's something to be said for. I hate momentum, that month man. Off.
Big I hate it because if we would have played TCU the next week, or hell, even that, 2 weeks after, it's a different game. We beat TCU. I don't have any problem with that. I think the month off. It's too much for this team.
You know, your girl's running on the field and kissing you up in the middle.
It's true.
But who I like and they're not really an upstart team. They're just, you know, they're just that gritty, you know, they're just that gritty George Foreman, you know, I'm a parry and hook. You know, I like Utah, man. I think
dude, before it's all said and all done, the love, dude, all of it.
They're going to rock a lot of teams to sleep, man. You know, just like last year, I think they're going to make a statement before it's all said and done. I think they're very good on both sides of the ball up front. I think they're happy playing with each other. Everybody's driving F-150s up there, and you know, NIL. You know, they're doing their thing. They're playing good team ball, and they're pretty efficient. You know what I mean? I don't want to call them the Michigan of the Pac-10, but they're pretty efficient. They're lunch pail dudes. True. You know what I mean? My wife made me this tuna fish, so I'm gonna take it out on you. You know. Yeah, I wanted the leftover steak. She packed the tuna fish. I'm pissed now.
No, they are. You're right.
I'm gonna take it out on you.
Yeah,
USC. I'm gonna knock the box again. You know,
it's pretty good. Okay. It's the truth, man. It's the truth.
Yeah, I like the way they're built. They're built to travel. So, and they're not scared of you. Yeah, they're not scared. So. I don't know what their remaining schedule is or how many losses they have, but I think
they have USC's number. They're going to have fun to say in the West. Holy crap. It's pretty funny. Yeah. True. I mean, I don't know, man. Let me, let's see here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's they were definitely built to travel, like you said. I think they did lose to Oregon State. They lost 21-7, I think. Let me just double check. Sorry, I actually had the Big 12. I mean, the Pac-12 up. So they lost to Oregon State 21-7, and they have Washington coming up. They may play
spoiler,
and they close out the season.
They're not going to go down losing both those games. That's not going to happen. They're going to
Oregon this week, and then they have.
They're going to win one of those games for sure.
It might be Washington at Washington on November 11th
because Washington might want to throw the lollipop up and down the field, and that might not be enough to win.
They could.
Utah might come up and say, listen, we're going to run between the tackles. We're going to make the game short. We're going to make you feel desperate. We're going to make you throw erratically.
And that's
what we did to USC.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
They took the same USC game plan into Washington. You know? Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I could see it. Well, I mean, I like defense, and you know, like we say, defense travels, and I think their defense is a little bit nastier, and I think they'll probably take out Washington. If I had a guess between the two teams, they would take, and then I think it's going to be one hell of a game between Oregon and Utah, just because Oregon's got Georgia's old defensive coordinator.
I don't know
head
if
coach,
Keaton
so
Coleman
I,
was supposed
so
to
that defensive like, scheme, the world very, tour. You know, very Which important, very good, very fast, to. Very everything. He knows what he's doing he coming out of the SEC. So I think that'll be a real battle, but I think actually Utah might just shock everybody and beat up on Washington. Right.
Whew. Yeah, I mean, man, I just think miss somebody
only missing
the
that like
of somebody.
Sport, and then their Cam Rising should be back soon. Like, they're saying that he's coming back, but I don't know if that. I don't know. You know, I'm not a big Utah totally guy, so I haven't been following him. But I don't know when his projected return time is. But, yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, for sure.
I think Florida State is going to have something to say before done about who reaches them.
Who would you, if team. Everything works out well, who would you like to play in the national
title game? When you need them to.
And we'll go ahead and we'll get Sorry, out on I, this one, and then we'll.
That's my little cousin calling me, but he's artistic. He likes to call me right around 7.
Wow.
We'll talk. Anyway, so. I think Florida State is going to have something to say about who gets there. For the drama of it all, for the hero's journey of it all, I want Georgia, man. I want Georgia.
Good.
That's the hero's journey, man. We got to get we got to get that back. We got to get that Georgia back. We got to get it. Got to get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be sweet. Yeah. That would be sweet because it would be Ohio State at Ann Arbor again. And then if we get another crack at Georgia, that would be fucking awesome. I'll be honest, that would be sweet. But yeah, Georgia was the one I was going to pick too. I just think it's the clear cut. I mean, now listen, there's a lot of football be left to play. Michigan's got to keep their head out of their butt and keep playing as well as they are playing right now and not let these distractions of all this other crap
going on. Yeah, man, you can find me on YouTube
get in their way, which I don't think
purpose.
So. I think
that's
it's the making them focus
and
even
the big
more
ass breakdown
and then
comes
it's putting
on Friday,
a huge chip on their shoulder. So I kind of like
you can catch
what's happening in that.
Vic and
so,
Adam from time to time, pop
yeah,
on.
Hey, man, great episode. Why don't you go ahead and tell everyone once again where they can find you, and then we'll get on out of here.
Yeah, man. Same here, man. All right. Thanks for having me. All right. Go blue.
All right, man. It was a great episode. Take care, and I'll hopefully see you this week. All right. At any time. All right, guys. Well, as we all know, it is great to be a Michigan Wolverine, and always and forever, go blue.